even if they're an infant, how can you think about empowering that patient and giving, or even if, let's say, they're severely cognitively involved, but like, how can you center it a little bit more about them, a little bit less about you? Because those are really the patients that need empowering. Like you were said, they might be in the whole healthcare system their whole life, and like teaching them that dependence on us and that like, do this because I said so when I'm a grown up, like involving the patient and seeing their autonomy and getting it centered in them. I think that can be a shift for pediatric therapists.
Amanda Hall comes back on the program. Invite her on Instagram at the Mad Caster, a pediatric physical therapist. She's actually doing a pre-con course at CSM this year as well. We get into what's new with Amanda and what you can learn from such a specialty in pediatric casting. Episode is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. My name is Jimmy McKay. On the show this afternoon, no stranger to the program, Amanda Hall is a physical therapist, got her MPT from the University of Washington in 2001, certified as a pediatric clinical specialist in 2011, and assistive technology professional through the Rehabilitation Engineering and Assistive Technology Society of North America in 2017. You might know her on Instagram at MadCaster. Amanda Hall is on the program. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show. We actually had you on. Was it our first birthday episode that we did?
It was. It was your first birthday at Arlington, and I was there in person. And that's when I met Sky, and I feel like, yeah, lots of things there. Well, it was a couple years ago now.
We just had our second birthday 8 days ago. So we're three.
Happy birthday.
We're three. Talking to a pediatric therapist. We're three.
Yay!
So when people ask, you know, what you do and you explain that you're a physical therapist, I feel like most PTs need to go a little bit deeper. How do you explain it when someone says, you know, what do you do as a PT? How do you typically explain it to people?
Well, I'm real quick to insert the pediatric thing so that people don't want me to touch them like adults.
There aren't like,
I just work on
my shoulder, my knee.
So I insert that real quickly to avoid adult interaction. So but I usually say that I work with kids with disabilities, and that I have a specialty working in casting and splinting and wheelchairs and adaptive equipment to help people who have different movement systems to operate at their best.
And I came across you because of the Instagram handle, which we throw on the screen now, at MadCaster. And you got your little Instagram, your little internet famous, as we were talking about before we started the Facebook Live. You know, talk about why. So I guess this is really the intersection of physical therapy and like how we kind of came across each other is you do something that a lot of physical therapists do and that you actually instruct other pediatric and other physical therapists to do, but you do it with a little bit of a spin.
Yeah. So in casting and splinting, my real goal is for it to be patient-centered care. And I think that, you know, my Facebook feed is all PT stuff. And the other half is like patient advocacy, disability advocates who are looking at ableism. And I think that we as PTs, especially in pediatric PT, tend to have this sort of paternalistic, or I guess in pediatrics, maternalistic approach to like, well, honey, you were born kind of messed up, so you have to work hard and listen to what I say. And I think that my goal is to shift that traditional pediatric PT to put the kids in charge. And I don't care if you're 9 months or 4 years, like I have to give you autonomy as an individual and not be like, you got to wear these ugly old casts because your feet are jacked. So there's that. It's like, no, you something's different about you. But what else is different is that you're into Moana. So okay, well, I'm going to make sure that your foot's in the best position and this is going to be beneficial to you, but it's kind of uncomfortable. And so like, as our compromise, like, okay, you're going to pick which design you want from Moana to go on this. And to get the kid kind of involved as a team, as the team leader. And I have the kids like putting on gloves and, you know, to whatever degree, like helping on the team, even when they're babies, so that they understand that they're, you know, our whole perspective as PTs is not the medical model. We give you a pill, it fixes you. Like, you're fixing yourself. And I, even with kids, think that's really important. Like, you're fixing yourself and I'm helping you. And so to get them on the team and then making it a patient-centered design, and decorating it is a way of engaging them with that.
Well, I mean, you're also dealing with individuals who are likely going to be in the healthcare system for a long time, maybe their entire life. So getting them involved early teaches them that they're responsible for their medical care. You know, I mean, even as adults, I mean, you know, myself included, a lot of times I just try to go with the flow, but we should advocate that patients take more of an active role, and you do that. So we got to go to the visuals first. We're going to go to a widescreen here, and you do some different things. You mentioned Moana. You mentioned some different things. So this is what people can find when they go to your Instagram.
This is my current project.
Full screen. There you go.
Little boy making these knee splints for. And he was watching a lot of Moana while we were making them. And I really wanted, I haven't done like a cast with like the Maui tattoos on it yet. I really wanted to do that to like copy the have you seen Moana?
No, I haven't. I haven't caught that one yet.
Come on, man. It's so good.
I know.
But so like Maui has all these really cool tattoos and I wanted to do that. But he kept choosing. So this is, if you haven't seen the movie, it won't mean a lot to you. But there's actually a David Bowie tribute song in there. And there's this crab that decorates himself called Tomatua. So the kid kept choosing that. I'm like, well, I want to do the Maui cast, but again, it's your leg. You have autonomy, so fine. So when the lights go off partway through his song, like he goes into like night glow, like black light kind of lighting. And then like when it's in the daylight, he's all shiny. So this is, and I had a colleague, a nurse practitioner, who gave me a bunch of sparkly stuff. So I haven't had a chance to use it yet. This is my first venture into googly eyes, you can see. I have like a three-dimensional thing going on there. And he hates these things. He, you know, he's got significant knee contractures and they're working on walking. So with his AFOs, these are just like, just his poor hamstrings. He hates them. So I pretty like, if he can like be walking with these, that's pretty awesome.
That is cool. So you listened to exactly what he was into. You made sure this was about him and you designed them so it expressed him. They're going to have to wear these splints. It's going to be a big part of their life. Love them or, you know, hate them a lot of the times.
Right.
But if you can make them a little bit about them and start with the patient, there's an ICF model, then you've got a better chance to have them buy in. So let's see one more set. And then I want to go into the process that you actually make these.
Okay. So this one is has been changed from its original. Hard to see up close. So that's closer to it. So this was originally a take on the famous pregnancy Beyonce photos.
Okay.
It was like, it just like, you know, with her with the flowers and everything. And I was really proud of it because I kind of went out there with the paint and everything. But then as the girl was like, let's say three, I was like, that's a lot of skin for a three-year-old's braces. I'm not sure how this is going to go over. So I just gave her some extra flowers to cover some more skin. So it's less to the original photo, but my most impressionistic sort of cast paint.
So let's go over when people ask you, what are you making these with? I mean, you're making them with regular casting material. What, you know, what's that made out of?
Yeah. So the, like this one, which is a removable cast, is made from a polyester type of casting material, which is semi-rigid. So it's flexible enough that it kind of behaves like the plastic from an AFO would. It has some semi-flexibility, but if you use a lot of layers, you can selectively reinforce it. So like it's really rigid to stop him from bending his knee, but it's flexible around to get it on. So that's a polyester casting material. When we do the serial casting, it stays on you for a week. We use a different material that has different properties. And we kind of combine different materials depending on what's going on.
And then what color does it usually come in? Generic, white, black, you know, kind of neutral, nude, or what?
Yeah, so the serocasting one comes in red, blue, black, pink, white, and then there's a couple of patterns. So if I'm in a rush, I'll do a pattern one if I don't have time to paint on the cast at the end of the session. But most of the time, the kid and I, like, choose a color, and then we'll choose a theme. Like, okay, we're going to do Iron Man on that one, or we're going to do Black Panther on this one.
And then, of course, to add your artistic abilities, you mentioned the googly eyes, but you've got a bunch of different ways to add color and patterns and everything. You know, what are some of your weapons of choice?
So it really just started with Sharpies. Like, I was just like, I have a Sharpie, I put a heart, yay! And then I had a student who, and then I went into paint pens because, you know, on a dark surface, the black cast of Sharpie's not going to show up. So I kind of went into paint pens. And then I had a student who, when she, as her goodbye gift to me, she gave me a little set of acrylic paints. And I was like, whew. So like, yeah. So now this is my art bag and I got like all kinds of different acrylic paints and paint pens and Sharpies and all the things.
So what was your background in art before that?
Zero. I don't really have any artistic talent. I'm just, you know, just messing around and just trying to keep kids happy. I'm really kind of a hack, but the energy comes from it being about the kid. because I don't really have any artistic talent, but I'm getting better. I think over the, you know, because of my intention and because, you know, I'm trying, and, you know, the ones that I take home like this, I have time to work on and really get it to look good. But the quick ones after a session, they're not all perfect, but I do my best.
I love that. You were featured where on MTV? You were featured in a couple different magazines for what people could find at Madcaster on Instagram. And that's just a bunch of, you were just showing off some of your designs, and that was great. We know where did this and how did this kind of take off and go further than the clinic?
Yeah. So over the years, you know, I've kind of just, when I've been really proud, send a cast to a friend, like, look what I did. I look at this. I made a Jordan. I made this, just random friends. And I had a friend, I mean, this tells you how long ago it was, who was like, you should make a Tumblr. And so I made a Tumblr, but I didn't, you know, so you click with some technologies and you don't click, and I'm just like not a Tumblr brain. So like it never really went anywhere. But I had that's where the name comes, because I called it Diary of a Madcaster. And so when it was Instagram times, I started kind of posting more. And I had friends who were just like, this is pretty cool. You should, you know, share this. And again, like, because you're encouraging other PTs to be a little bit more creative, a little bit more patient-centered. So I started the Instagram, and then I did a pair of Kanye West shoes, the Yeezys, and that one kind of got a lot of attention. So that's when Us Weekly and MTV called me, and I got to speak to. And again, it was one of those funny plays, because like they were kind of ugly shoes, and so it was easy to replicate with like beige kind of traditional casting materials. Like that was also one of those like kind of ironic things, because they were really, it was like when he did that zombie line of clothes that looked kind of torn up and everything was beige. And so I was like, ah, this is perfect for casting material. I don't even have to like get creative. So yeah, that was when I kind of took off.
You also instruct other physical therapists to do that. You know, more information can be found at your website, amandahallpt.com. We're doing a little bit of a CSM preview. You know, you're going to get to go to the big dance, as we call it, the big dance. coming to your neck of the woods, though, right? CSM is coming up in Washington, D.C. This late January in 2019. Mm-hmm. What are you going to get to do there? You know, what are you going to offer some fellow PTs?
Yeah, so I'm doing a pre-conference course, which is just like so exciting. And I'm calling it Update on Therapeutic Casting, a Modern Framework to Improve Outcomes, or something like that. And my point is this, is that I don't know if you've had any exposure to casting, but what I've noticed is there's a real guru mentality and a real kind of hoarding of information when it comes to casting. And so I think my goal of casting education is to teach people how to think and how to problem solve on this, because people get so kind of married to a protocol, and we're not bakers. We're not making a cake here. I have a parable. Can I tell you?
Lay it on me.
Okay. So it's not my parable, but it applies in this case. So there's a girl who's learning from her mom to make a pot roast. I guess that's a thing that people do. So the mom, at some point, they're all ready and they put it in the oven, and or they're ready to put it in the oven. And then mom says, you know, then you cut off the ends and you put it in the pan. And the girl is an inquisitive girl. She's probably going to be a PT when she grows up. And she's like, but why? And mom was like, because that's how you make a roast. And the girl keeps pushing, but why? So they call grandma, who taught mom how to make the roast. And grandma says, because that's how you make a roast. And the girl keeps pushing. So they finally reach out to great grandma, who's at a lovely assisted living facility. And she says, I don't know why you guys cut the ends off. I did it because my pan was too small. And like, I think that really applies to the serial casting world, because I've had so many conversations with people who cast, who say, oh, well, at this step in the process, I usually do ABC or whatever. And I say, oh, interesting. Why? And they say, because that's how I was trained, because that's how so-and-so guru told me to do it. And I think, okay, well, which patient population or which hindfoot alignment do you think that's relevant for? And it's kind of like this, like the guru said, or my grandma's recipe, like, how are you not a clinician? How are you not, you know, if you just learn NDT, you don't do 20 steps in a row, no matter what the patient is in front of you. So feet are so complicated. Like you and I can both have ankle issues, and we don't have neurological impairments. You take all those things that can go wrong in ankles just in the orthopedic population, then you add a neurological injury, but people are sort of just like going through a cookbook. And so I want people to think about how you're casting, and then you can learn my recipes, you know, my casting techniques, my recipes, they're gluten-free, whatever, but then you can read somebody else's recipes and say, oh, I see where I could plug in these skills into the framework that I have, that I'm doing differential diagnosis for each patient, and thinking about which techniques I'm applying and which materials I'm using. depending on each patient and their clinical presentation.
Putting your own judgment, your experience to the person sitting right in front of you, which is really what we want. If we were a consumer of our own healthcare, I don't want someone following a cookbook and going, you know, A to B to C. I mean, couldn't I just Google that myself and do it myself?
Right.
And,
right.
You
know,
you want the person to be in front of you, reacting to and dosing appropriately and giving you the appropriate things for you. So I'm glad that that's what you'll be doing. How long's the pre-con course? I've never actually been to a pre-con. I've seen them, you know, on the programming, but how long is are one of these classes?
It's like an 8-hour day, like an 8-hour full day course. Cool. And it's right now I normally teach the lower extremity in 3 days, so it's going to be like a short intensive. But I think, you know, again, looking at these concepts. And I am going to teach techniques because I think it'd be super boring to go to a casting course and just for me to blah, blah, blah all day. So it's definitely going to be hands-on, and we're going to bring in a bunch of volunteers and have lab, but it's going to be definitely condensed from the normal full-day course. But hopefully people can take away, you know, ideas that they can apply to their current practice.
Yeah, I love when you talk to people who do continuing education courses with therapists, and what I've heard anyway is that moment when you can see that therapist who's learning kind of stare off into nowhere, and you're like, what are you thinking about? Like, I'm thinking of the patient I'm going to be using that thing you just told me about on Monday, and that's got to be a great moment as an instructor.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think that's how this developed for me, was because I learned a really great protocol for casting initially, and then when I moved hospitals from Georgetown Hospital to HSC Pediatric Center, I went from a pretty less involved population to like what I call now a caseload of outliers, and I've been there for 10 years now, and so if it's like if every patient's not can't qualify for this protocol, then I need to change the protocol. And if every patient's an outlier, then you kind of have to rethink through the processes. And so like, yeah, that's what I want, is people to be make the connections. Like, I have a really challenging patient. Here's what I could try with them. Or maybe I can make something up. It doesn't get into any studies that show this technique's better than that. And so again, and when you're working with outlier patients, it's hard to find a study. So it's better for you to say, if I wrap the tape in the opposite direction, or if I position them differently, maybe that really challenging patient, you know, can be successful with this. And I won't have to say, I'm sorry, this isn't going to benefit you. You have to deal with that contracture.
Love that. More information at your website right now. Can people get that?
Oh, yeah. So my website is AmandaHallPT.com. It has information about my courses. And then I also just started on Facebook for people that are taking the courses or are interested, a Facebook group forum. So it's called the Therapeutic Casting Forum. And people who are interested in casting want to post new ideas, ask questions, post research. I kind of want to make it a forum for people who are involved in this, because I think we tend to be siloed in different places around the country. And it'd be nice for us to all have a platform where we can share ideas and innovation and best practice.
I love when you go into a group and they ask really specific questions. Like, I have a patient who is very, very specific, you know, doesn't fall into any of those silos. Can someone help me? And you get people chiming in from around the country, around the world. That's really when the internet, you know, starts to get leveraged for all the good parts and not just, you know, the commentary on every other issue. But when you actually get to use it and apply what you're learning from people, you know, around the country and around the world, that's great.
The PT Pinecast will be right back.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
The PT Pinecast supports Team Gleason, led by Steve Gleason. Steve played for the New Orleans Saints from 2000 to 2008. He will always be remembered for his blocked punt on the night the Louisiana Superdome reopened for the first time after Hurricane Katrina. In 2011, Steve was diagnosed with ALS, a considered terminal neuromuscular disease. It is his mission to show that patients can not only live, but thrive after this diagnosis. In doing so, he hopes to inspire others to do the same. Steve and his wife Michelle formed Team Gleason. Their mission is to provide individuals with neuromuscular diseases or injuries with leading-edge technology, equipment, and services. Create a global conversation about ALS to ultimately find solutions and an end to the disease. Find out more at teamgleason.org.
And And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
We've got another issue we want to talk about. What was this? How long ago did this situation pop up? You kind of reached out to me. You were facing something with some of your patients. Explain what that was.
Oh yeah, this is so interesting. So, and the reason I think this is interesting to talk about is because I think in today's day and age, there's a protest every day and nothing changes. And this time we did a thing and something changed. And I just wanted to tell that story because I think, I don't know, at least in my world, I feel like everybody's always mad and nothing ever changes. So you kind of lose inertia, like you lose momentum for, for advocating. So in this case, again, I work in Washington, D.C., where most of the apartments are not accessible. And I work at a hospital with the most involved kids with the least resources, you know? So for kids that need power mobility, I know you're big with Go Baby Go, and that's what we do in our clinic besides the casting is we're doing wheelchair and assistive technology evals. So for a lot of kids in DC, if you need power mobility, we are doing a power add-on system. So you have a manual wheelchair, whether it's a regular lightweight chair or even a tilting space, but we can add an external motor to that so that you can control it with your head. You know, like if you can only move your head, that's not fair that you can't have independent mobility if you have that ability. But if we got you a full power chair, it would just live at your school because your mom has a Corolla and she lives in a third floor walk up. So, you know, that chair could never go home with you. So we do a thing called power add-on. And one of the companies that's big in that is eFix. And a company that makes the adapted switches is ASL. And they make all these specialty adapted switches so that we can say, okay, that's fine. You can only hit, you know, this little button over here, this special button. Cool. We got you driving. We did the training. We're going to order you this chair. It all comes apart, can fit in the back of mom's Corolla, but you can have independence. And they were saying, oh, we can't fill these orders. We're going to stop making those products. For the joystick kids, it wasn't going away. But for the adaptive control, for the most involved kids, they stopped making it. And it was kind of sketchy. They weren't giving as much information. And when I dug a little bit, they were saying that there was too low volume for the overarching company, which was Invacare. And I was like, right. Because it's low volume. Like these are the most involved kids with the least resources. It's not a big population, but that I can't tell, you know, a certain patient, oh, I'm so sorry, you're low volume. So you have to be dependent and be pushed around even though you're 12 and you have a, you know, totally cognitively normal brain, but you have to be pushed around now. Like I can't say that to my patients. So we wrote an open letter to Invacare, and that's when I reached out to you to help to get signatures. And they listened to it and kept production. Like they reinstituted production of these products and actually kept a facility open in Texas that they were going to close.
So
supporting the product line for this kind of niche population.
So just to recap, you had this switch, had this product that was pretty much integral to getting individuals, specifically the patients you were seeing, children, to be able to operate things, you know, to be able to interact with the world.
Independent mobility. Yeah,
independent mobility, you know, should be right. And this larger company bought the smaller company, and then we're probably taking a look at it from a bottom line perspective. I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing it out there.
Right. Exactly. I'm sure that's true.
And that was going to go away. Those switches, and they're the only guys in town making it, they were going to go away. And that probably wasn't a big deal to that company, but it was a huge deal to those individuals who use the switches. And you did something about it. So, like real briefly, what did you do? How did you do it? Because taking to Facebook and starting a petition, that gets done. There's a protest every minute, especially in Washington, D.C., where you live. So how did you do it to actually get not only the company to listen, but for them to take action?
Yeah, so I have a friend who, you know, I'm in D.C., so I have a friend who works in civil rights, including with all kinds of advocacy, but including people with disabilities. And so I was like, where do I start? And he's like, well, let's do an open letter. So we wrote up an open letter, and he helped me write it. And I had to, like, edit for people first language because he was, like, trying to, like, I think make the point of how severe people's disability was, which can sound really ableist. So I was like, okay, that's great, but we're going to use people first language. Yep. And I just sent it out to, you know, the kind of the PT community that I could reach out to on Facebook and through you and other networks and ask people to put signatures on it. And once it was posted, Invacare was like, can we talk? And I think that they, and it really, you know, you can look at it from a jaded perspective that they were shamed, or you could just say maybe they just were not aware that this low volume was really important for an important population. And, in today's day and age, the last thing you want is technology to go off the market because there's no competitor. There was nothing I could say, product A is not available, but we can go to product B. And the other thing that I did was I reached out to Cole Galloway and his engineers he knows and was like, okay, if they're going to stop production, let's have somebody else start a company. Like, I need someone to make this product. I don't care who makes it, but I need someone to do this. But what was really impressive was that the company listened and they changed their policy based on that.
So once you got them to have a conversation, how did that conversation go real quick?
So I actually spoke to, the person I spoke to was the representative from the smaller entity, ASL, who was really on board with this. These are the products she makes and she knows well and she understands the value. So she actually said, you know, you helped us out because, you know, this big company is seeing volumes and, you know, Invacare probably makes a lot of like scooters and like those scooter store kind of like, you know, the more like off the shelf kind of power chair as well. So if you imagine the volume that they're selling of those versus these really niche products, probably low volume to them. So for us to point out to them that like this patient population, you're taking away technology from the market and taking away mobility from people who would have it right now if you don't make that decision. And so they listened. And I was really impressed by that. And what she said to me was that, you know, she appreciated us speaking up from the clinical side because within her company, she didn't really feel like she has much of a voice to voice that. So
you framed a story with what would happen to the individuals that it would affect. You know, you didn't raise a stink about it. You didn't throw a tantrum, but you decided that there was something wrong and that you needed to do something about it. And again, this goes back to the beginning of our conversation of this episode. You were advocating for the patients who would eventually benefit or lose out on the mobility if this product were actually to go away. And I think you did it the right way. You know, you had a conversation. You know, you could have come out guns blazing and shamed them. You could have done that. That's a strategy. Not a great one, though. And I think right. Ultimately your goal is to get the result or as close to the result as you want. And you did that. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you. For me, it was such a, because I was like, nothing, you know, at least we feel like nothing ever changes. You know, we're always mad of and protesting this and that. But like in this case, a thing changed, like advocating worked. It just was like encouraging and for, I think, people to speak up for, because, you know, a lot of those patient populations we might work with don't necessarily have a voice. You know, these are the people whose moms drive Corollas and live in third floor walk-ups. These are not people who have time to go and advocate on the Hill. Like, these are people who, and we have the ability to speak on their behalf.
Or they wouldn't even know that this thing was going away until it was gone or until the switch that they had broke and they couldn't get a replacement.
And they couldn't get another one.
Right. Or, you know, how about the kid who's born tomorrow, you know, who's going to need this thing 1, 3, 5 years from now.
Right.
And they can never get that. That's going to feel pretty good. That warm and fuzzy has got to keep you pretty warm in the DC winter that's coming up, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good lesson to us that like you said, don't throw a tantrum and don't use it every day. Don't have a protest every day. But that when there's a time to speak up, that you can make a difference. Like
when it means something.
I was kind of shocked. I was really shocked that they changed their mind, but it worked. You know,
I'll be dead honest. You know, you reached out to me, you know, and I've had people do that before in terms of communication. Like, how do I apply this strategy? And I can't give you the same thing I did just the other day. A friend of mine, actually, in the pediatric world, reached out about a change in Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance. They're reducing reimbursements by 29%. And she's got a private practice pediatric PT clinic. And she's saying, what do I do? I'll be fine. I'll be able to fill those patient slots that go away. But the kids that can't afford a 30% reduction in the reimbursement, what do I do? And I said, give a professional communicator. And I suggested she reach out to local TV stations, make the story about a person. I said, reach out, let that communicator do all the framing of the story. I don't want to call it dressing up. I don't want to call it a spin. What a really great, like one of those investigative reporters will do is they'll look into it and they'll frame that story how it is in a really concise way. And that's what you did here was you said, here's the problem. Here's how we can solve it. And here's what happens if we don't solve it. I mean, that's the important thing, you know?
Right.
To say that you came out, if you were to come out shaming them, would that have been a better thing? Probably not. They would have went into super defense mode. I mean, that's just my guess
right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Are you ready for three questions?
Okay, I'm ready.
Right. On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
Three questions brought to you by our sponsors from Aureus Medical Staffing. Quite simply, Aureus finds physical therapists jobs. You get to do what you want, where you want to do it, anywhere in the U.S., all 50 states represented, all settings, pediatrics, you can do inpatient, outpatient, you can do older adult care, anything you want. Check them out. They've got all the information at AURUSmedical.com. Little things too, like housing. How do you transfer a license? Jurisprudence exams. If you work at places like DC or California, you got jurisprudence exams. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does jurisprudence mean? I had to Google it. Relax. The guys at Arias, they got you taken care of. So first question from three questions with Arias is, you're in DC, but if you were going to leave DC and be a PT somewhere else in the States, where would you go? Anywhere. You got carte blanche. Where would you go?
Okay. So I have my first course I'm teaching in Alaska coming up in Anchorage. Yeah. I've never been, but I'm so excited. So I'm going to go with Anchorage. I've never been there, but in October, I'm going to teach a 4-day course. And I'm just so excited because, you know, when I was in the Northwest, I used to live in Seattle, and a lot of people would talk about Alaska and Anchorage and just how beautiful it was. So I'm going to go with Alaska sight unseen.
you're not going to be disappointed. Alaska's gorgeous. I got a chance to be there for a week. So, and Arias has placements in Alaska. They put people up there all the time, Hawaii, Colorado, the whole nine. So they'll get you hooked up. And again, that's AURUSmedical.com. Second question, what's something you read recently that really inspired you? It could be a blog, could be an article, could be a book, anything.
This is crazy. So I just finished this book. You know, the Motor Control book by Ann Shumway Cook and Willicott, who doesn't? It's the Bible, right? I actually had Ann Shumway Cook as a professor at University of Washington. Who I never really thought about was Marjorie Willicott. So she wrote this book that I just finished. So she's a neuroscientist, PhD neuroscientist, right? Who's done all the research, super evidence-based, all the things. She also meditated for 30 years and has this whole like mind, body, spiritual side. So this book is about her kind of having the difficult conversation about how science is like the mind is neurons firing and that's it. And then her kind of like metaphysical side saying like, I feel like there's more to it than that. And her kind of bringing those worlds together, like, yeah, this is how dendrites fight or like, you know, like that's how that works. But also there's near-death experiences and there's these kind of things that science can't explain in a lot of the maybe Eastern approaches. So like hearing her say it, you know, I think in PT, a lot of us feel that way. We have kind of a science brain, but then there's other things that don't quite fit into that. And so her having that conversation kind of with herself in the book, so good. It's called Infinite Awareness and by Marjorie Willicott. Yeah, so interesting.
Third question, who is someone that the audience should know more about? Maybe somebody who's doing great stuff under the radar?
So she's actually an OT, Holly Shifsky. I'm not sure if I said that correctly. But I met her. We were both TAing for Mary Mastery for a PNF course. And she does a lot of the respiratory kind of stuff on NICU patients. Because those of us working in pediatrics, they all start off, a lot of our patients start off in a NICU with different early development of respiration in of itself. She's really taken that whole, you know, if you can't breathe, you can't function sort of approach to how the respiratory and system is affecting motor development and really looking at it in the tiny patients. And then how does it affect you as you grow up? I haven't taken her myself, but was just so impressed talking to her. And I'm actually trying to get a grant to bring her to my hospital next year because she's really got something interesting to say. And also, I know you've spoken to people from the IPA a few times, but I think I always have a finger wag for pediatric PTs to do ortho because children have joints and soft tissue. And so I recommend the IPA's FM1 for pediatric therapists to take, because I think that we tend to be like just looking at muscles and joints but not joint mobilization, just kind of looking at muscles and movement and kind of skipping past the whole movement system in terms of orthopedic function. Because if you've had a tight muscle for 12 years, it's not the only thing that's tight. Other things are tight too. So
that's three questions. Last part of the show for Amanda Hall. And again, want to know that they can find her on the Instagram at Madcaster is where they can find her.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation, their mission to rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people. They believe in their clients and their ability to achieve what they once thought impossible. Optimal function to rehabilitate their lives. Find out more at foxrehab.org. Parting Shot, what's your parting shot of wisdom or the last sentiment you want to leave with the audience before we get out of here?
I think maybe it's something around that point of seeing a pediatric patients as autonomous individuals, like even if they're an infant, how can you think about like empowering that patient and giving, or even if let's say they're severely cognitively involved, but like how can you center it a little bit more about them, a little bit less about you? Because those are really patients that need empowering. Like you were said, they might be in the whole healthcare system their whole life, and like teaching them that dependence on us and that like do this because I said so when I'm a grown up, like involving the patient and seeing their autonomy and getting it centered in them. And I think that can be a shift for pediatric therapists.
AmandaHallPT.com and again at Mad Casser. I'll be seeing you at CSM. I think we
might
get together and have to have a beer or two. I know you got the pint glass there in the background. We got some new ones coming up as well. We'll bring them to CSM. So
cool.
Appreciate you telling your stories about what you're doing in terms of instruction, what you're doing for individuals and advocating for those patients first in a lot of different arenas. I'm glad you're doing it out there. So thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Great talking.
We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet. PTPintcast.com. Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.